Hi everyone, thanks for joining us. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington joined by Keith Melrose and David Jennings, and those fine judges will be taking you through a nine-race ITV bonanza on Saturday. We've got five races at Ayr, the highlight being the Ayr Gold Cup. We've got four at Newbury, then we'll see what else the lads fancy away from the ITV cameras, and we'll get the Saturday naps. So, loads to get stuck into, and where better to start than the 3:40 at Ayr on Saturday. 6 furlongs is the trip for the Virgin Bet Ayr Gold Cup, one of the great handicaps of the entire calendar. Biggest day of flat racing in Scotland. Should be an excellent race. 24 go to post. The going is good to firm. I'm not aware of a huge deluge of rain, so I should think you can expect it to be good ground. Specialists will shine. And we've got a very hot favourite, Great Ambassador. Is roughly five to one. Shop around for the best prices and the best place terms. Comanche Falls is 10 to 1. Just Frank is 10 to 1. Popmaster 10s. Bielstra 11s. Ostilio 12s. And it's 14s bar, which brings in the lovely Summer Gander's top weight. Bit of news on the each ways. Paddy Power and Skybet will give you 7 places. William Hill will give you 6. There's 5, a mixture of 5 and 4 elsewhere. So, like I say, it's really important. Don't have that galling feeling of backing something each way. Finishes 7th and you've done it first 6. Right then, I tell you what, there's loads of horses in my tracker in this. Great Ambassador's been great and their Potmaster's been brilliant. Summer Gand, who's just an absolute superstar. They're all in my tracker. Will the lads tip one of them or have they got another one up their sleeve? We'll start with David Jennings.
Yeah, a lot of familiar faces, Bruce. I've kind of liked Bielsa for a long time for this. There's a little bit of, well, a lot of the value has gone. He was 20 to 1 at the start of the week when I went through it. And I think probably the value has gone a little bit. The draw is a little bit of a worry, but I just thought all season that he did have Ayr Gold Cup written all over him. And I think there's been valid excuses for his recent runs. Like last time in the Stewards' Cup, like he basically raced on his own up the centre. And even when you go back to his run at Haydock earlier on in the season when he was beaten by Punch Bowl Fly, it was a similar story. Like he won his group. He was I think, basically 8 came near side and he was beaten by Punch Bowl Fly on the far side. I think if you just go through all those runs this season, they've been rock solid runs in real tough sprint handicap. At the start of the season, if you told me Bielsa would be rated below 100 going into the Ayr Gold Cup, I would have been very surprised. I think the track at Ayr does suit him. He was only beaten 3 lengths in the race last year and he had every chance kind of halfway inside the final furlong. I still think there's a big handicap in him and I think this might be it. He's drawn 25, which is a concern considering the favourite is drawn in 1 and Comanche Falls is drawn in 2. So the leading contenders are drawn low, and if there is a group horse in it, it is Great Ambassador. But I do think Bielsa is not very well handicapped, but is capable of winning a big handicap off 98. So he's my first choice, and I'm just going to give a shout out to one more because I can see him running well from a low draw. Is Count D'Orsay, who I think at this stage is crying out for 6. Stayed on really well to finish 3rd to Hurricane Ivor the other day at Doncaster over 5.5. Running off 96, installed 4. 28 to 1 is the best price about Count D'Orsay. I think he'll run well. So Count D'Orsay and Bielsa are my two against the field.
Okay, DJ hopes Bielsa leads as they cross the line. Keith, who do you like in this?
Well, I'm glad DJ's come up with Bielsa because he was sort of the second on my list. I had a look at this race and the pace in it, and it's all generally on the higher side. There is basically nothing low in the race. You've got He Jonesy and you've got the favourite himself, Great Ambassador. There's nothing else that really wants to cut out in there. Great Ambassador might be in the worst possible place, I think. It could be that bad, but the pace is all low in the Silver Cup. So, you know, you can never tell for certain. It's all about whether the realpolitik or the actual pace of these horses wins out. I'm going to go with the latter. I'm going to stick with those higher numbers, which is where the pace seems to. Just Frank's got a lot of pace. Mr. Magu, he's quite a quick horse as well. And Sunday Sovereign, who's 2 stalls outside Bielsa, tends to keep up with the pace over 5. I'm hoping he'll just maybe try and bag the rail and make a bit of pace there as well. So high draw for me, and I'm going to go with a horse called Ostilio, who you'll all know as a 7-furlong mile group horse if you've been asleep for the last year with Simon and Ed Crisford. But he's now going to Paul Midgley, and Paul Midgley's had him for basically a year and spent that whole time trying to turn this horse into a sprinter. And the evidence of his last 2 runs is that he's finally got there. He was in the 5.5 furlong race at the Ebor meeting, finished about ninth behind Copper Knight in that race, only beating 4 lengths. And then he ran in the Beverly Bullet last time. That race was won by Tiz Marvelous, who won very easily. But that race, nothing got involved from off the pace. Just Another Bottle made a lot of the running, and he finished second. Judicial was sort of midfieldish. Nothing else really got involved from off the pace by any stretch. And Ostilio sort of did. He was last, I think, 2 furlongs out, and finished really strongly to take fourth. Midgley's now turned this horse into a sprinter. He was group quality, you know, RPRs and well into the 110s, and he's coming into this rated 96. So in a race where, look, DJ's taking two against the field, and that's the minimum that I might actually back if I was having serious stakes on. But if I'm having one in this race, I'm looking at the pace in the high stall, and I'm putting in Ostilio.
Keith, I need to interrogate you about this pace issue, and it's something we've talked about on this show before. What you're saying, so for those of you unfamiliar with the kind of intricacies of how these sprints work, 24 runners, they're going to split into at least two groups. Those drawn, what Keith's saying is that most of the horses drawn on the high side are the ones that have got the early pace and are going to go forward. And you're saying that that's going to handicap Great Ambassador, who's drawn one right on the opposite side. But what I can't get my head around is, surely if they go too fast, if you say the pace is on the high side, is there not a danger that they'll all just go too fast, fall down a hole? Richard Kingscote will judge his tie it perfectly. He may well be aware that there will be a pace imbalance. He'll sit tight, let the horse run optimal pace, and just come through and pick it up at the end. I just don't understand why being where the pace is an advantage.
Because most races in Britain are run with faster closing fractions, even in sprint trips, than slower closing fractions. Are basically, and you won, therefore, if you're in the group without pace, you are in a group that has to quicken more at the end of the race. If you're in
but
the
you
group
might have more energy because you've not gone so fast early. That might but go too fast if there's a pace
Energy, it's all about distributing your energy as efficiently as you can, and that is best done if you run evenly. Air as well. We'll come on to this more in the Silver Cup when we deal with that, but Ayres' 6 furlongs is deceptively quick. They dropped more than 20 feet from start to finish, and the standard time is a second quicker than at Goodwood's 6 furlong course, which has got a reputation for being quite a fast 6 furlongs in the Stewards' Cup, but Ayres' quicker. So that's another one where you want the early pace, because when the emphasis is on, that puts the emphasis on early speed. When frontrunners aren't getting tired, they aren't coming back. It's all about distributing your energy efficiently. And in a race, in most races in Britain where they don't have pace burn-ups, like, you do get pace burn-ups and it might happen. And you don't need the big group to win the race. And Richard Kingscote knows that better than absolutely anybody, because he won this race 2 years ago in Anthem Alexander, who was in a group of about 5 on the near side. Everything else went stand side. But because that group of 6 had 2 frontrunners, which was Anthem Alexander and Major Jumbo, they both went exactly the right sort of pace and got it right. It's all about getting the fractions right, but the odds are very much in your favour if you're in the group with pace, because of the way races tend to play out in Britain.
But Keith, can I just ask one more, please? I don't want to be persistent, okay, but I do have a lingering doubt over this. Kingscote is not going to sacrifice his chance of winning the Air Gold Cup on the 5-1 favourite Great Ambassador by sitting too far off the pace. He's a fantastic judge of pace, particularly off the front. He's going to know what he needs to do. He's going to be counting the splits. He's going to know where he is 3 furlongs out and whether he's using his pace efficiently. Surely he runs his race. That he's not going to sacrifice it by sitting too far off the pace just because they're going hell for leather on the other side. Just get it into my thick skull one more time.
Well, what most jockeys don't want to, if they're not on a horse that leads, jockeys don't want to lead. Now, Kingscote is more of an exception than most in that regard, I would say. But most jockeys, if you say, oh no, you want to get a bit of cover, they'll get a bit of cover. So most jockeys in his position would be dictated to by whatever leads that far side group. Now, Kingscote might not do that. He might decide to make his own running. And if he does that, then it is wholly up to him. And if I was him, actually, I'd maybe make a beeline for the far rail, because the Great Ambassador's got a tendency to hang left. He's drawn in one. There's no horses on his left. There's only a rail. So if I were Kingscote, I'd maybe think about that far rail. Obviously, it depends on what the ground's like and whatever. He might walk the track first or something like that. But yeah, most jockeys do not want to lead unless they're on a front runner. And then because, you know, they're on a bit of a hiding to nothing. If they take that lead and they get beat, they go, oh, sorry, Gov, You know, they didn't go fast enough for me. But if you the grass and nettle and meet the running themselves, you can't, well, why did you do that? Okay. And you have to answer questions like that. So there's a lot of politics going on. There's a lot of sort of culture almost and received wisdom among jockeys. There's a lot of factors why this is the case, and it's not a straightforward thing. And you're right, people like me will sit here and talk about this very blithely in terms that it has a lot of assumed knowledge behind it. When there's now I talk about it, there are so many underlying little factors at play here. All I'm saying is that with all these factors that I just seem to do as a second nature now, they put the balance of probability on the high stalls dominating the Ergo Cup for me.
DJ, have you got anything to add to the pace debate, or should I just shut up and listen to Keith?
No, I listened intently there. No, nothing further to add. Well explained.
Jolly good. Let's take in the other four races at air on ITV, starting with 155, the Virgin Bet Doonside Cup. It's over a mile and two, and lovely Juan Elcano, 11-8. Yukon Glenny, he's lovely as well. He's 3-1. May Danny's 5-1. Juan de Moltalban is 14s. As are the rest of the field. So three dominate. Will the three at the front of the market dominate the finish, Keith?
Probably, yes. And yeah, I think that they are the three you've got to be interested in this race. And I don't have a particularly strong view, but I didn't particularly see why me Danny deserved to be as big as he is. His form has come mostly in handicaps, but it's not like he needs a really strong pace. He'd run a perfectly good race in that Coral Challenge where they didn't actually go all that hell for leather. So a lot of solid form coming in, really not much to find on the figures actually, especially considering that he doesn't get penalised, whereas Yukon Glenn and Juan Elcano both carry penalties of some sort. He's sort of the outsider of the three really, if you do regard it as a three runner race, and I know a lot of people sort of sign up to that, but I don't particularly. I just think he should be closer is all I'm saying. And, you know, I might have a small bet on him because of that. Me, Danny, probably should be closer to those top two than he is.
It's a 10-runner race. There's three 200-to-1 shots, three at the front of the market. Me, Danny's 5-to-1, fifth to three. Are we firing the each-way bet-to-nothing klaxon here?
Well, you absolutely could if that's your inclination. My view on this race maybe isn't quite strong enough for me to actually do that in this race.
But you wouldn't put anyone off?
Oh, absolutely. If that's your sort of bet, you do it. Although as well, Mark Johnson as well, you know, there's sometimes the Johnson horses can be very difficult to figure out. But this, me Danny, seems a very straightforward and generally quite a consistent type. But yeah, if you're inclined towards the old each way bets to nothing, he's a pretty good platform.
Okay, I've had plenty of each way bets to nothing that return nothing. DJ, how are you going to approach this one?
Do you know what's gas here, right? When I looked at this race, and it just goes to show you the different approach.
I know what's what?
Do you know what's gas? Sorry, it's an Irish thing. Do you know what's funny? Do you know what's gas?
Okay,
do you know what's
right.
Gas? You know, that's how I would try to start to tell some stories. Do you know what's gas here, or do you know what's funny here? Is when I started looking at this race, my first inclination was to think, why on earth is my Danny only 4-1? Keith says he's consistent. He ran a shocker the last day, I thought he ran absolutely terribly in that superior mile at Haydock. And he's ran 105. He's loads to find on the ratings. And I just couldn't understand why he wasn't 8-1, never mind 4-1. And then I realised what you said, Bruce. And there's a couple of no-hopers in here. And I think the only reason he's as short as he is because of the each-way steal, to be honest with you. When I started this race, I wanted to take on Juan Elcano. I really did. And when I was finishing this race, I couldn't take on Juan Elcano. I think 11-8 is more than fair. Since he's had that wind operation, he missed the break, obviously, in the Judmont. But, like, he was beaten 10.5 lengths by Mischief. He never really got into it, never really showed what he was capable of. But his two runs prior to that, I thought the run behind Bangkok in the Group 2, that Sky Bet York Stakes, where he had Mohaffet behind him and Armory, like, that is way better than anything any of these can achieve, I think. And the time before that, obviously, in the Wolferton at Ascot, again, he beat a well-handicapped, potentially, Patrick Sarsfield, who ran in the Irish Champion Stakes last week. Solid Stone was third. Like, that form is vastly superior, I think, to what May Danny can achieve. Yukon Glenn is now 8. Coming into the race on the back of an Ebor run over half a mile further than he's running off here. By process elimination, I think Juan Elcano should be odds on, and I think 11-8 is one of the bets of the day.
Excellent. Thank you very much, DJ. The 2:30 at air is the Virgin Bet. Air Silver Cup. over six furlongs, it's the sort of consolation race, not sort of, it is the consolation race for the Air Gold Cup. It's for horses that don't get into the main event. And Black Rod's the favourite, 11 to 2, Royal Scimitar 8s, Magical Spirit 10s, Bergerac 12, Music Society 12, 14 bar. Anyone offering seven places? Not as yet, but keep your eyes peeled. You will get six with a couple. Right then, DJ, how are we going to approach this from a punting perspective?
I'm going to chance board, man, Bruce. I thought last time at Chester, the way he travelled into the home straight there was so easy on the eye under Cam Hardy. Again, his finishing effort was a little bit disappointing. Like, he only ended up finishing fourth, and turning in, you would have said it was a 100-to-1 shot that he wouldn't finish in the first three. Travel like a dream. I think a strongly run six could see him come into his own. Like, he's up to a mark of 94, and you have to remember, this is the same Boardman that won three in a row earlier on in the season, 75, 80, and 90. Lost his way a little come the midsummer. But I just thought last time at Chester, there was more sign of life. He's been dropped a pound for that, so he's down to 94, or I thought he was dropped a pound, but obviously he's not. He's 94. I thought he was gone back down to 93. But, yeah, I think the way he travelled at Chester told me that he's back in form, and I think he's got a big chance of 14 to 1.
Lovely. Thank you, DJ. Keith, who'd you fancy?
Yeah, as I sort of alluded to in the Gold Cup preview we did there.
Bruce hates that.
I know. The odd one's okay, Keith. I don't know if you're aware, but we had a thing on various postcasts where everyone was saying "as so and so alluded to," and so we had to ban that phrase, but we've got it under control now, so the odd one's fine. So go on, Keith, as you alluded to.
No, and the thing is, you're right, because I didn't even allude to it. I literally said it.
Alluding to means sort of, you know, putting an oblique reference to this. You're actually, you just, as you mentioned or as you said anyway. Yeah, let's not get hung up on that.
No, and I did say, as I said in the Air Gold Cup preview, the pace here is all low. Basically, in a sort of half dozen lowest numbered stalls, they're all front runners or prominent racers. There's pace into the middle, but I'd say it's mostly on the low stalls here. And then among them all, Staxton, who has on occasion shown a bit of a tendency not to finish out his races. He did it in the Great St. Wilfrid last time, but that was because he was on the wrong side that day. He was on the far side, and I think Duran Fentiman knew what was happening, went for glory about two out, didn't get home. He also didn't finish that well in this race last year, when again he got himself in position a little bit earlier than he might have wanted to. This time that won't need to happen, because the horses in front of him are going to go faster than him early. Fentiman can present Staxton as late as he wants. Is some of his form earlier in the season, including he's got a win at Ripon back in April and his run at Hamilton. And the way he's shaped in the last two starts, even though the form's not come up to scratch, does suggest, even he was showing enough to go off 15-2 for the Great St. Wilfrid. He was nearly, I think he was favourite at one point in the morning, possibly, for the Great St. Wilfrid. So he's been showing enough to suggest that he's very much at the top of his game. He's got just about the perfect setup for him here. You're getting your six places. Let's hope, keep our fingers crossed, that somebody goes seven at some point. And in that scenario, Staxton makes a lot of sense for me. He's 25-1 at the time of recording.
Thank you very much, DJ. Just quickly back to you. We've got the Air Gold Cup and the Air Silver Cup on Saturday at Air. On Friday, we've got the Air Bronze Cup, which is obviously another race on the same course, same trip, same kind of field size. How much importance will you place in terms of what happens in those, in that race, to how the draw might affect the Silver and Gold Cups?
Yeah, you do. You actually do place a good bit of emphasis on it. Like today, even, you will obviously look at the pace. Keith would say the same. You look at where the pace is, and as he said, there's a lot of high pace in the actual Air Gold Cup. But you're worried. Like, I fancy Bielsa, who's in 25, I think, in the Air Gold Cup. Like, if 1, 3, and 6 are the first home today in the bronze, you're kind of going to yourself, oh, Jesus, this is a bit of a disaster. I'm on a 20s early on in the week. He's whatever, 9s now, and I'm on completely the wrong side. So you're kind of worried if you've had a bet already, but you're kind of hoping that it's the pace of the race that is the reason why they've ended up there. But I'd be far happier if it's high, the first couple of home are high in the bronze cup today for Bielsa.
Thanks, DJ. Keith, you've done numerous fascinating analytical angles on all sorts of aspects of horse racing. Have we ever done the definitive guide to whether these consolation races have a bearing on the main event?
I've never done it because my perception is that it's driven entirely by what gets said in the weighing room in between and what jockeys perceive. And so therefore it's going to just, you'll only get noise rather than signal is my assumption. So it would be quite interesting, wouldn't it, just to
compare draws for constellation races and main events and just see if there is a relationship.
I would imagine there is, and it has what I would say it's almost sort of a bit of built-in knowledge or a truism that it has more of an effect than it probably should. Although I've never done the work to suggest it, and you know, the difficulty with that sort of analysis is, well, what effect should it have? And it's very hard to pin that down. Because of a certain thing. I mean, you could do it by SPs and whatnot, but then the early races even influence SPs in the later race. So it's a very hard thing to actually isolate and analyse. My rule of thumb on the matter is that it has more effect than it probably should. And I would always rather, you know, my old mantra is you should always just back what your own eyes tell you. And my own eyes tell me the pace is high in the Ergo Cup. So I'll hope that whatever happens in the Silver Cup, even though I think the pace there is low, I hope whatever happens there doesn't massively affect the Gold Cup later on.
I reckon you should get G-Rod onto that one. Let's move on to the 305 Air. The Virgin Bet 4th of Clyde Filly Stakes. A Group 3 for two-year-olds. Headmistress is 3-1 favourite. 6-1 for Scots Grace. 7-1 Hala Hala Athmani. 7-1 Hello My Darling. 8-1 Canonised. 12-1 Bar. DJ Gerlines sends Headmistress over. Will he be coming back with the trophy?
Yeah, she has a big chance. Obviously, Gerard, four winners at Leperton last Saturday, and his team are absolutely flying. Interesting, Colin Keane stays at home. You know, he's chasing Joseph O'Brien's record, so he's not over in England or in Scotland for this. Gary Carroll, experienced jockey, got among the winners on Saturday. So any British observers that don't know Gary Carroll, very, very capable jockey, was number one to Geraldine's before Colin Keane came along. And I think the trip will actually suit Headmistress, because I thought both times over five at Down Royal in the Curragh, she got slightly outpaced. And there's no shame in getting outpaced in any races that involves Loveday, who I think is possibly would be almost unbeatable over four furlongs. But she did get back up to win Snuggly at the Curragh in that Lister race, and she won Snuggly as well at Down Royal. So I think that the step up and trip is really going to suit Headmistress. But I was slightly blown away by Hala Hala Athmani at Carlisle last time. Now, Kevin Scott, not only does he have the distinction and the very lucky boy to be going out with Megan Nichols, but he's got so many good rides on Saturday. It could be, I'm putting the markers on him here because I fancy him on Juan Alcano, I fancy him on Bielsa, and I do fancy this Hala Hala Admani. I just thought everything she did from the 2 furlong pole home told me that she must be a group horse. She must be, because I thought she was, you know, she slightly dwelt at the start and then she was kind of niggled along before halfway. And just from the 2 furlong pole to the line, to put 5.5 lengths between herself and Round Acre, I thought was seriously impressive, I have to say. I thought it was one of them performances I said, whoa. And Round Acre had form going in there, was second at Jumbly and a Leicester maiden before that. So I think that the form is reasonably solid. Now the second is rated 72. Or 71, I think, was beaten 5.5 lengths. And the third home there, better half of Mark Johnson's, is rated 67 now. So she's beaten 67 rated horse and a 71 rated horse. But she's absolutely obliterated them. I think there's loads more to come. And I think she just could just be well above average. So Hala Hala Admani for me.
I just had a thought come into my head, something you mentioned there, DJ. If the BHA announced that on Champions Day they were putting a group one for two-year-olds over 4 furlongs on, would you say, what the hell are you playing at? Or would you go, wow, that sounds good?
Yeah, I'd kind of love it, yeah.
It'd be good, wouldn't it? I'd love it.
And there's so many of those horses that run in the Nunthorpe that you're like, oh my God, imagine them over four. But you just wonder, if there was a 4 furlong race, would we put too much emphasis on those speedballs? And maybe the ones that are kind of held up would actually be closer to the pace. It's kind of fascinating.
My view, I mean, a four furlong group one would be wasted at Ascot. It should be at like Epsom or...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Actually, Bellewstown. But Bellewstown, I mean, it's crying out for it's a natural fit, isn't it? I think Wesley Ward would fancy it, that's for sure. Who do you fancy in the 305 at Ayr on Saturday? A race that actually is going to happen, not one that never will, Keith.
it's not a race I have a massively strong view. And again, I thought I was going to give one more chance to Hello My Darling, probably each way. The run at York, and she carried top weight in that nursery. It's a really classy nursery, always tends to be, and she carried top weight in that. She was on the far side of the group all the way, you know, just out on a limb there, and finished a close third to Flaming Rib. I think the fourth come out since and run to a similar or slightly higher level to just give it a little bit of a nudge on the form. It's really a good performance, that. And actually, on RPRs and standards of this race in the last 10 years, she'd have won or dead heated in five of them just on the basis of that performance. She's run since. I think if she'd come here just off the back of that, she'd be a lot shorter. As it happens, she ran in Ripon's champion two-year-old trophy on that bank holiday Monday, and she got smashed by Flotus. Flotus had the stand rail that day, which can sometimes at Ripon make a massive difference, but it didn't make 4.5 lengths difference, and Hello My Darling wasn't exactly that far off it herself. So there's no question that was a lesser run than York. But if she can produce York's run again, or even better it slightly, she will almost certainly get herself in the first three here, or maybe four. Are any firms offering four yet? Because it's a 15-winner race, you might get somebody offering four. You know, I think she's a good each-way bet.
Yes, William Hill, I'll tell you what, Skybet are offering five, Keith. How about
Well, good old Skybet, you know, they're always good for an extra place, aren't they? And Hills are much the same, to be fair. So yeah, I'd be inclined to take her with extra places.
That's brilliant. So again, it does underline the importance of shopping around, because you can bet with Bookmaker A and only get three places, and Bookmaker B gives you five. There are extra places on offer as well. In our final race from here, the 4:15, the Virgin Bet Handicap over a mile. 12 runners, you can get four places with plenty of firms. I caught the three with the others. Dance Fever, Fav, 9-2. Cruyff Turn, 5-1. Shillier, 11-2. Garden Oasis, 8. Hong Kong Harry, 8. 10 bar. Keith, away you go.
Oh, you've picked me up for that one, Bruce. This is my, I'm playing my card here today. I give myself one every week, don't I? And this is it this week. I just couldn't crack this one at all.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so Keith gives it a pass. DJ, not a tactic that we've seen you deploy that often. You normally have a swing at absolutely everything. Who are you going to go for here?
I thought Keith was building up for a massive swing.
I was getting excited there, and he goes, no, I'm not having anything.
I have one of these every week. I was like, here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like one of this, and I think if you're playing your four places, like, I would streak down O'Connell Street if Shellier doesn't finish in the first four here. Like, he's just guaranteed to run his race. And his air form, like, he's ran at air twice this year over a mile, okay? And finished second both times. He trained at 1.12 and 1.05 in those two starts, looking all over a winner, and just didn't get the job done. And it's one of these, Bruce, I don't know what way to think about these sometimes, okay? Did he dog it and you know, just get pipped on the line? But like, on both occasions he was in front of stride before the line, so there's no possible way horses can know exactly where the line is. There's none, absolutely none, no possible way they can know exactly where the line is, and don't try and tell me otherwise. So you can't really say that, you know, he threw in the towel just like a yard from the line and was beating a short head in the head. I think he's just probably been a little bit unlucky. Even last time at Pontefract, you know, again led, you know, coming up to the line, looked like he was going to win and was just pipped. He's run off 97. He's a great record at air. The race will be run to suit. He's just absolutely guaranteed to finish in the first four. So if you're getting four places each way, 11-2, Shillier, and hopefully this is the day when he sticks his neck out and actually wins the race.
Splendid. Thank you, gents. That was Air. Newbury is next.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Keith Melrose tackling four races at Newbury on Saturday live on ITV, starting with the 2:15. The Dubai International Airport World Trophy Stakes, Group 3, 5 furlongs. Kadeem, 130 favourite. Kingsland, 4s. Tis Marvellous, 4s. Hurricane Iver, 9-2. Mosgiel, 7s. And it's 12-1. Bar 8 go to post. So we've got each way facilities, which is great news. and some good old favourites in here. So competitive heat could be quite tough to solve this, but there's no better man for the task than David Jennings.
Yeah, I thought it was boring, but I thought Kadem would win again. I just thought he turned a little bit of a corner at Leicester. Blinker's obviously on first time at Newmarket when he travelled really, really well, got to the front and weakened just close home over six. Blinker's on last time again at Doncaster and Listed race, and the race was over halfway. It was blistering speed. William Buick took over that day from Jim Crowley, who got a fall earlier on in the card. And it just looked to me like the Kadem we saw a couple of years ago when he won the Stewards' Cup, and we thought he was going to take the sprinting division by storm. If he can repeat his run last time, I think that's going to be good enough to take this. I actually thought, I know there's always kind of risks attached to Kadem because he can't throw in the odd stinker, but I actually thought a best price of 130 was very fair. I thought he'd be more about 9-4, so hopefully the blinkers will continue to have desired effect, and I'll go for Kadem.
Have you got a helicopter circling overhead, by the way, DJ? It just sounds like it. There's a weird sort of clicking noise in the background.
Really? No, it's complete silence. I'm here on my own.
Righty, huh? Keith, who do you fancy?
When DJ was talking about Kadem, I just kept thinking, you know what? The reason I'm putting up Tis Marvelous instead of him is only because I don't want to put up the favourite, really. And if Tis Marvelous was favourite and Kadem was, you know, half a point bigger, I'd probably be putting him up. Which tells you they probably don't want to really ruin behind whatever I put up here. But I thought Tis Marvelous. It is slightly splitting my difference with the Ergo Cup as well, because my reading of the Beverly Bullet is wrong, then Tis Marvelous really does deserve to be up with the favourites here, because he won that race, 5-furlong race, by nearly 4 lengths. Over 5 furlongs, that's about a stone superior to everything else in that race that day, allowing for weights and whatever. So, yeah, maybe it is a little bit of splitting the difference with the way I've analysed it relative to the Ergo Cup, but I did think that performance was really quite something from Tis Marvelous, and that he probably deserves to be a bit closer to Kadem than he is.
Thank you, Keith. Let's move on to the 250 at Newbury. It's the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup. It's a Group 3. It's formerly known as the Arc Trial, 1 mile and 3 furlongs. This will be run 2 weeks and 1 day before the Arc. Al Arzi's favourite, 4-5, Fox's Tails, 3-1, Solid Stone, 13-2, Illarab, 8-1, and Ad Infinitum, 33-1. The first question for you, Keith, is will the Arc winner be running in this? And the second question is, who will win this race?
Well, there's only, considering you've got a gelding that's 4-5 and you don't get geldings in there. It's just I remember when it used to be the Arc Trial, and it would raise a titter every year, wouldn't it? Everybody thought, you know, it might as well call the Edinburgh National. No, the Edinburgh National's a better national trial than this is an Arc Trial. It was just an absolutely risible bit of nomenclature to call this the Arc Trial, wasn't it? But yeah, it's not an Arc Trial. Probably never will be again. And I just can't have Alassie being fit. He's been gelded since his last run, and he'll have bigger targets. He's had 10 weeks off. It's William Haggis. He's very patient. I cannot have him being fit. And yes, he's got £7 on the field, but he's also given away full penalties and everything. So I really like Fox's Tails as a horse. I don't know what it was at Haydock. You'd think, oh, it can't be the ground because he's won on soft before, but he hated something at Haydock, no question. He was off the bridle miles out, and he responded very well to beat Fancy Man by, it was 3/4 of a length going away, and would have been a lot further on another day where he was going with more zip. So Fox's Tails, I think, is going to be, I think, at least a Group 2 horse in time. He's obviously got that run behind him that's a little bit more recent than Alassie. You're putting your eggs in the basket of Alassie not being fit, but if he isn't, then I think you might regard Fox's Tails 3-1 in this race in future as being a bit of a retrospective steal, and that's why I'll be backing him.
Fox's Tails for Keith, who for David?
Oh, this is different class. Like he's not, like, if he's absolutely completely undercooked, like, he's not going to be running them here. Like, he has to be like 80-90% fit. And Alassie is different league to these. Like, this is 4-5. This should be 2-5. In £9 clear in the figures, yes, he's given £6 away to Fox's Tails. But, like, this, like, you are sniggering at this being an Arc Trial. I thought coming out of the Coronation Cup, I know he was beaten, but the way he travelled into that race, I said to myself, come October on soft ground at Longchamp, this is a proper ARC contender. Like, this is a proper Group 1 horse running a shite Group 3. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the long and the short of it. He's being gelded. Obviously, they think the gelding operation is what he needed. He's being gelded. You're getting 4-5 about a horse who is vastly superior. We know he's vastly superior than all of these. This is an incredible price. I think he should be 2-5.
Okay. I must apologise if you heard some bad language there on our microphone.
I don't know. Shite is
I've
okay.
Never had to say that. I've always wanted to do an apology like one of those Sky commentators.
I think it's okay, though. I think that's
no, fine. It's not. No, it reflects very badly on you, DJ. I would imagine
really?
Your mother would be horrified if she knew that you came on profaning like that.
What's really funny about that is that the listeners won't know, but the idea of Bruce Millington delighting in pulling up somebody on their language is absolutely delicious to those that heard him off mic.
Right then, let's move swiftly on to the 3:25 at Newbury. It's the Dubai Duty Free Handicap. 1.2 is the trip. 11 runners and Aramaic is the 7-2 favourite. King of Clubs is 11-2. Moasis is 13-2. Injazati is 7-1. King Leonidas is 7-1. And it's 10-1 bar. David Jennings, have you got a strong fancy in this one?
I don't know. My old buddy Sam Cook is in here. And me and Sam Cook fell out, unfortunately, after Ascot. And he went on and won at York. So we haven't been reacquainted here. I thought Moasis was quite impressive at Kempton last time. I thought that was a decent race. And I thought he was seriously impressive. I thought the way he quickened up under Ray Dawson stamped him down. I thought potentially as better than a 93-rated three-year-old. You know, it's a guessing game because we've only seen him 3 times. He's won twice at Kempton, over a mile. Now he's back, and now he's on grass, and he's stepping up 2 furlongs in trip. But to me, visually, last time at Kempton, he looked better than a 93-rated horse. So for that reason, I'd chance him at 13-2.
Okay, Moasis is DJ's selection. Keith, have you got a strong view here?
Not particularly, Bruce. It is such a strong race. I mean, this could pass for the London Gold Cup just about. There's so many strong horses in this race. So unexposed horses that are going places. I thought Aramaic absolutely deserves to be favourite. And you could almost... Yeah, if this had been just about any other race, I'd be saying, oh yeah, you get tucked into him because he's going to win again and go on to better things. There's so much behind him here. So many good horses and progressive horses that... I would rein back on my stakes slightly, but I'm such a fan of this horse that I can't not back him. So I will have a bet on Aramaic, who's very impressive at York. He's a massive horse. He ran once at 2 in October, and he didn't run until August. So I think that first run is about 7 weeks ago. And in that 7 weeks, he's gone from horse that finished 5th in a late season maiden to BHA 94, easy winner of a decent York handicap. You know, he's got all the hallmarks of a horse that's going to keep improving for quite a while yet. I can't not back him, but my instincts suggest that, you know, he could run perfectly well and get beat here because it's such a warm race.
You're going to have the racing cliche police on you there. You just said he could go on to better things. You've got to say bigger and better things. Come on, play the game, you know it. But you'll be referring to horses as small next. Right then, 4 o'clock Newbury, 6 furlongs Dubai Duty Free Mill Reef Stakes. Group 2, it's had a little bit of a prize money injection. And a few people used to moan down the years. It dropped to under 30 grand, 44 grand to the winner, nearly 45 grand to the winner. And we've got a field of 10. Dabab, 2-1 favourite. Gubas, 9-2. Gissa Sub, 7-1. Fearby, 15-2. Maglev is 17-2. It's 14-1 bar. Skybet, again, the kings of the extra place. They bet 4 places here. Will that be enough to tempt Keith to open that notoriously tight wallet of his?
Oh, come on. That's discriminatory.
It's not.
We can't be having that.
It was a joke. I don't know. To be honest, Keith, I've never really been out drinking heavily with you. I don't know whether you're the first to the bar or the last, but I certainly wasn't making any.
I had a night out in Gibraltar with Keith.
Is he a general? Was it a free bar?
Yeah, it was a free bar. He was very generous.
Oh, okay. we can all be very generous when they're free. Now, I'm sure Keith is a very, very generous fellow and the first up at the bar. But anyway, Never mind that. Who do you fancy, Keith?
It's a very competitive race. There's a lot of pace in it, which isn't terribly surprising for a Mill Reef. It's generally fast 2-year-olds that run on it. And, you know, there's loads you could make a case for, but the one that sort of caught my eye a big price, and I might make use of the extra places here because there's a chance he might not be quite good enough, but will run well and finish close up without winning, is Wings of War, who has quite quickly made up into a useful sort. He was third in the big sales race at York. He was beaten half a length in third, and there was another 4 lengths plus back to the fourth. And the first and second, I think, have come out since and shown that form would be absolutely fine. He ran next. He went off favourite for the Serenia Stakes at Kempton, and I thought he was unlucky, actually. I don't think he was very well placed. And as he was coming through, he just got checked a couple of times, a little bit, horse sort of hung into him and just checked the momentum a little bit. Without that, he might have gone very close. And they rated that renewal very low on RPRs. Normally, the level for a Serenia, you'd be right in the running for this. So I think that at 14-1, that's too big a price. Do back him each way, and especially if you can get those extra places, because it's a deep Mill Reef without being the best Mill Reef. So, you know, you can make a case for a few, but Wings of War is the wrongest price, is a term I sometimes use, and that's what stands out to me.
Okay, thanks, Keith. DJ?
I tell you, Keith won't be buying any beers with his winnings from this race anyway, that's for sure, Bruce, because Wings of War won't be winning this. Look, I've been on this podcast before, and I said I thought the Bab would win next year's 2000 Guineas. I got it wrong, but he will win next year's Commonwealth Cup. This is, I'm still convinced this is a bloody monster of a horse. Like, you go back to that Superlative Stakes at Newmarket, okay? The winner was Native Trail, who is now a short price favourite for next year's 2000 Guineas after absolutely obliterating Point Lonsdale in the National Stakes to Curragh last Sunday. The second that day was Mazakila. Mazakila beat Bayside Boy and
Search for the Moon.
Search for the Moon last week at Newbury. Was rated 107 going into it. Not sure what he's rated now, probably higher than that. The Bab, running against Native Trail and Mazakila, burst clear, traded at 1.09 in running, looked like a Guineas winner in waiting, and then didn't stay. Just didn't get home. Frankie, once his chance had gone, was very easy on him in the last kind of 100 yards. That, to me, in defeat, was still a hell of a performance. And I just think the Bab, back at 6, at Newbury, strong pace. Going to see where you're going to see the Bab in his best possible light. And reading the Gallup reports from David Millens earlier on this week, it seems like he's back working really well. He is just different class to these. And if I get it wrong, I'll hold my hands up. But this wins, Bruce. This the Bab wins.
Okay. I must say, DJ, it was nice seeing Native Trail do that, because this two-year-old scene this year has been pretty moribund, hasn't it? It hasn't been very exciting, Trail was good, wasn't it?
You know what was funny, Bruce? Like, two out, you were looking at Native Trail and Point Lonsdale. They were both off it, and you're going to say, oh, this is going to be a bunch finish. They're all going to, you know, there's nothing really special in that. And then all of a sudden, like, last 200 yards, it was like, whoa. This Native Trail is something special. So, yeah, I think that form tied in with the Bab makes the Bab very hard to beat.
Jolly good. That's the TV action. Hopefully some more wisdom and winners in just a jiffy.
Download the brand new Racing Post Progeny Tracker, the only tracker of its kind, giving you the ability to track unnamed racehorses by any sire or dam, and you can also get easy access to sales information. You can download it for free on the App Store by searching Progeny Tracker.
It's the final part of the Racing Post weekend postcast. We've done the TV action at Ayr and Newbury. Let's see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. We've got Newmarket, we've got Navan, we've got Garran Park, Catterick and Wolverhampton. Keith, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got three on various races. I'm actually going to put up an Irish horse, but he's running in Britain. It's the Cez Trial, Sarovic Trials, the 3:15 at Newmarket. It's been on the telly on this day before this race. It's not this year, and you can sort of see why. It's actually not a very good renewal. It's to the point that I think Turnpike Trip might just have enough to beat them all here. Live Your Dream had his chance after he didn't get into the Ebor. He finished a bit of a disappointing fourth at Newmarket. Indigo Times won that race. I'm not sure about the form of it. The Max We Can, the ground's already good to soft, and this horse tends to do his winning when it's faster. Hopfield had his chance last week. Just up and down, not much of a race. And Turnpike Trip is very unexposed on the flat, or not exposed, but lightly raced on the flat these days. A smart chaser, and previously to that, a smart hurdler. As you can imagine, found it a bit. He was a bit slow back on the flat. He ran in the Ulster Cesarewitch. DJ, is there a race that Down Royal does not host an Ulster equivalent of? Because every time I look at a race at Down Royal, it's the Ulster something or other.
Ulster National is Down Patrick.
Oh, of course it is.
JN Wine either, do they? Because that is there, isn't it? Oh no, that's the other place, isn't it?
No. Dan Royal is now the Ladbrokes Champion Chase.
But anyway, this was the Ulster Cesarewitch, and he's finished second. It was a bit of a steady gallop. He was just too slow for a sort of muddling race like that Turnpike trip, and you get the impression with a greater test at the trip, he's got more to give. He gets the chance now, hopefully, in the Cesarewitch trial at 3:15. The last race there, again, it's a big race. It's a handicap on the Ergo Cup card, and in those terms, it is not a good race as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to give Glasses Up one more chance. I backed him at massive prices at York when he ran in the Eber meeting. He's a horse that probably wants a good gallop. He's got absolutely loads of form at Ayr. And he's run at Musselburgh in July when he beat Wise Eagle. I think that was a Sunday series race. Absolutely nothing wrong with the form. Everything's come out of that since and run well. It always forms at Ayr, and he definitely stays this mile five now. He's top rated on RPRs based on his performance in this very race last year. So, you know, obviously has things going for him. It's not a strong race for the money. That's the 5:20 at Ayr, Glasses Up. And finally at Catterick, I'm going to have a bit of a chancy one in the 4:10. There's a horse called Socially Shady who... he's got the attitude that only an owner could love, certainly recently. He's not looked like he's all that interested in a lot of his recent runs. He had a good run and finished second at Thirsk, but what happened, when this horse got cheap pieces applied to him for the first time, he won his next start, or maybe even his next two. The cheap pieces have worn off. That's what tends to happen with horses that have got slightly wandering minds. The headgear can work for a while and then wear off. Gets a visor for the first time in this race at Catterick, which I don't think is all that strong. He's been looking well handicapped for quite a while. He's off the same mark as when he was second at Thirsk, and now he goes in the 4:10 at Catterick. He's only getting a chance because of the headgear. He's got the ability to win off this mark, and the only reason I'm going with him is because, you know, just give the horses... When you see the abilities there, you know, it's hard to get off that idea when you see a reason why that might be revealed today, and that's why I'm putting up Socially Shady in the 4:10.
Thanks, pal. What have you got for us, DJ?
It's a Keith Gass for coming up with them sayings. Like, he says stuff like that I've never heard before. Like, he's got an attitude only his owner could love. Like, I've never heard that before.
That's a good line, isn't it?
And earlier on, he said, it's all noise and not signal. Like, I had never heard that before. Had you heard that before?
I think Shakespeare came out with that one. I don't think he came out with the one about the owner, but he's very wise, Keith. That's what I like about him. He doesn't rely on the cliches.
No. Anyway, sorry. Two for you at Goran Park and one at Navan. At Navan, Evergreen and Red won quite impressively after meeting trouble and running at Punchestown on Tuesday, and runs off a £6 penalty here under Pandy Harnett, who won on him at Punchestown. Given the way it won and how on top it was at the line, looks like it's going to win off £6 higher, and wouldn't be surprised if he did. So I know stall 14 is a bit of a worry at Goran, but I think Evergreen and Red will win the 2:45. And the main race of the day is the 4:30. It's the Laverack and Lanwade Stud Filly Stakes, the Group 3. And as we said, Headmistress runs for Geraldine's over in Ayr, and Colin Keane doesn't go there. He's riding Emma Naya here for Dermot Weld. He would have had the choice between Zawara, who was just beaten last week at Leperstown, and Emma Naya. And there's real heavy rain forecast here today. We had a few heavy showers this morning, but I think it's to get worse. And I think the ground should be fine for Emma Naya. For Zawara, I'm not sure it's going to be okay. But there's only a handful of these horses that have three-figure races. And I think Emma Naya, rated 100, drawn and stalled too. I just don't think we've seen the best of her yet. So I think she could take a bit of beating in that 4:30 for Colin Keane and Dermot Weld. And just one for you at Navan. It is in the second race. It's the 1:45. And it is Rock on Jamie for Ray Hackett and Anya O'Connor. Back down to 2 miles. Ran last time at Cork over 2 miles three. Looked all over a winner the whole way there under Darrow O'Keefe. Was sent off 7-4 favourite. I just don't think he stayed to 2 miles three. And back to a more suitable trip here in what looks a winnable race. I thought Rock on Jamie would win the 1:45.
Surely good. All that remains is for us to get the naps. If the boys were just having one bet on Saturday, who would it be?
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with David Jennings.
It's my easiest one for a while, Bruce. The Bab, 2-1, 4 o'clock Newbury. I'll be very disappointed if the Bab is beaten.
And Keith?
Yeah, apologies. I'm breaking protocol here. I've done what the cliched guy who's about to miss a penalty does and changed his mind. I'm actually going to put up Glasses Up, who I've already talked about, but I should have left out in my roundup in the 528 year. I looked at it again and thought it was him or Ostilio. And I looked and I thought, you know what? I do quite fancy Glasses Up. So that's my one in the 528 year.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, DJ. And thank you to Keith. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you've never downloaded the Racing Post app, there is no better time. It's free. It's fantastic. It's full of great winner finding clues for you. All the latest news. You can even place bets directly through it through leading bookmakers. Maddie's back on Monday, looking back on the weekend and looking ahead to some really, really good stuff. We're getting to the business end of the flat season. Next weekend is Future Champions Day and Cambridge Day. And we're back to preview that in greater detail next week. So hopefully you can join us for two more great podcasts next week.